Most scientific studies last for a matter of hours or days, but there's one very important medical study that's probably the longest running of them all, and this week it celebrated its 70th birthday, along with the surviving study participants, all 3,000 of them from around the UK. They've been sharing their health and lifestyle data across their lifetimes with a team of MRC scientists at University College London. Connie Orbach has been hearing what the study has achieved and began by dropping in on one of the study participants, Tony Miles, who lives in Cambridgeshire.
One of the female participants had a boyfriend who became a fiancé, I think, and she had a load of data from the survey arrive and was answering the questionnaire and stuff like that. And he approached her and said, "Why are you answering all these questions? These are all Nosy Parker things," and threw everything in the bin. Okay. But she thought, if he thinks like that, he's not going to be the husband for me, and ditched him. And thanks the study for not marrying the wrong bloke.
And she still thinks it was a good decision, then.
Of course.
They've had wider-reaching effects than maybe even they realised would happen.
Relationships aside, this study has had some really important impacts since it was established in 1946, especially as it was the first ever one. Diana Q, director of the cohort study, aka the MRC National Survey of Health and Development at UCL, explains.
Britain really led the way. This was the first of the national birth cohorts. We're known around the world for these cohort studies, and over the years, there have been other countries who've also started off birth cohort studies in Europe, in America, and now in quite a few of the low-income countries. And we learn a lot by comparing across these studies. So you can see whether findings in one cohort are actually, do you find the same? Can you replicate those? Because that is very important for policy, for what the impact of the information, if we can show that we find the same associations across these studies.
You explained how the very initial study really fed into the foundation of the NHS, especially
yes.
in maternity. What are the other kind of big findings over the years that's really affected our policy, the way that Britain works?
Let me pick just two. When they were children, they did quite detailed cognitive tests, so we knew when they were age 8, for example, how well they were doing cognitively. And then James Douglas followed them up. Those who, did they get through the 11 plus? Did they go on to get educational qualifications and such like? And children who were apparently very cognitively able, but came from poorer backgrounds, had much less chance of benefiting from their cognition, if you like, in later life and getting into good jobs or schools or whatever. And that was called the wastage of talent. And it really important that we invest in children, in their health and education, because they are the future generation. So a lot of the study findings went into commissions looking at policy reform for education in the 60s and 70s. Now we're very interested in their ageing, and we can identify people who may be having an accelerated ageing process earlier, people who may be more susceptible to certain types of ageing trajectories. And I think we need to be making sure we get in early and not waiting until people already have a lot of chronic diseases and problems and functional decline. And I think that's, you know, that's the future, and our information is being used to help.
This study has clearly had far-reaching consequences, but it's not just about the way it has changed public policy. It has also dramatically impacted the lives of the people taking part. Here's Tony again.
The team are forever thankful. The research scientists have so much data, and they use everything they've discovered in a wide-ranging way. We're a perfect group to see how well we've developed and now how well we are. And having them thank us all the time like that does make you think, oh, I'm glad I've done that. Glad I've stayed in that study doing that.
Well, happy birthday, Tony, and all the other participants. Thank you all for your help. And as a birthday present, it seems that the latest results have some good news for later life.
in the same group of people, when we asked, did a well-being scale in their early 60s and have just repeated it, on average, people's well-being has been going up on all the different aspects that we ask about. And there is a group who we're particularly interested in who have actually had a significant increase in their well-being. When we spoke about that at the 70th birthday party, and two study members shouted from the audience, retirement.
They've got a good point. That's Naked Scientist Connie Orbach speaking to the director of the 1946 birth cohort study, Diana Kew. And before her, you heard study participant Tony Miles.
Thank you, Kat. And up next, where new viruses come from and how can we wipe them out? You're listening to The Naked Scientist with me, Chris Smith, and also with Kat Arney.